All right, you may have seen the My Cause, My Cleats campaign. It started the past couple weeks, carries on to this week's Steelers home game, and players are urged to, on their cleats, come up with designs, different things, different scapes as to what's important to them. Now, one Steeler's been dinged up, but it's not going to stop him from participating in all of this and championing a very important cause. Miles Killebrew joins right now here on KDK. Hi, Miles. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Pleasure for you to join. I really do appreciate it. So, Cafe Momentum, a lot of people know what it is. There are some people who don't. Why is it so important to you, and why is it even more important to enlighten people about it?
Sure, of course. Well, you know, here's the deal. What it is it's a restaurant, and they take youth who have been impacted by the justice system, essentially give them a second chance, bring them in, teach them skills that are applicable in the workforce, and essentially just give them an opportunity to reinvent themselves. So, hey, you are not defined by a mistake you maybe have made in your past. Let's get you situated here. Let's get you on the right course. And I got to tell you, it's completely staffed by these youth, and they have a good meal. You know, you can go in. There's a spot right downtown Pittsburgh, off of Market Square, and you know they have the awards to back them up. It's a good eat. So if people are interested, if they want to support this holiday season, they don't know how to do it, you can either visit online at cafemomentum.org, or you could go downtown and get you a nice meal.
268 Forbes Avenue is where it is. Take me through this. That could be court adjudicated kids, could be kids that just slipped up, but the importance of humanity, I guess, taking kids, younger adults that are 14, 15, 16, and not defining them by their worst moments when they're a teenager. How important is that?
That's exactly right. It hits home for me just because I've always had a heart for the youth. I think it's absolutely critical for guys in my position, you know, in the NFL, specifically here on the Pittsburgh Steelers, to be involved in the next generation. And this is a great way to do it. I'm representing them. I know I won't be on the field, but some of my teammates will be. I'm super excited that they'll be out there. Peyton Wilson, Connor Hayward, Malik Harrison, even a couple of coaches. Danny Smith and Coach Tomlin will be rocking some shoes referencing Cafe Momentum. And it's a cause that is, they have the numbers to back it up. They're doing their work as far as giving these kids, these young adults, a second chance.
Now, people hear Vegas or Henderson, where you're from, and they think, okay, that's where I go on vacation. All right, the Strip, or I might go downtown or whatever. It's grown so much in the last 30, 40 years that tons of people live there. There are kids who get in trouble. People do some things. You've seen it all in being from there. Certainly there are people who needed second chances. Certainly there are people who needed to walk a more of a straight line. And I'm sure some of it derives from that, Miles, in that there has to be personal stories from growing up.
That's exactly right. You know, that's right. I'm from Vegas, and I'll just be quite frank with you. I wouldn't be where I am today had I not had a support system telling me that they believed in me. And, you know, whether it be your parents or whatever, a lot of kids simply don't have that. They don't have anybody telling them that they can amount to something in this life, that they are more than their biggest mistake, as you put it. And I think it's absolutely critical that these kids have somebody that can pour into their life. And so no matter where you're from, I think it's absolutely necessary. And so that's what I intend to do. That's what my teammates intend to do. And that's what Cafe Momentum's doing every day.
Yes, Cafe Momentum. Be sure to check it out. You've been here long enough now that, and especially wearing that Steelers jersey, in so much as, is it not okay, but it's more expected that you roll up your sleeves and get in the community here? I found out everybody that I've ever talked to involved in the organization, all the way from the top on down, it's an expectation that you give back to Western Pennsylvania. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's 100% true. Every team has their little cliche thing that they say, you're not a blank until you're blank, right? But for Pittsburgh, the Steelers, something that I've learned is you truly cannot even begin to consider yourself a Steeler if you are not involved in the community in some aspect. That's what it really means to be a Steeler here. You know, obviously there's a long tradition of winning, but, you know, wins come and go. It's how you are remembered as far as impacting the community while you're here that I think is going to carry the most weight. Yes, sir.
What about you being injured? Are you annexed out, or, you know, here's so many guys say, it feels like I'm not around. How good of a job have they done to keep you around and make you still feel a part when you're in the training room? You might not be out on the practice field. Like, how tough of a balance is that?
Here's the thing. You get out of it what you put in. And I will say this, there is a silver lining to this injury. It has allowed me to look a little bit more beyond myself and how I can contribute just from a statistical standpoint. And it's forced me to be in the building and be aware of what guys are going through individually. I'm a lot more tuned in with, maybe how I can help off the field more so now. You know, it's really interesting. I was just telling my wife about it the other day. Like, I can take my production out of it, my on-field production out of it, and I can really be sensitive to what these guys are needing in the locker room and you know, how I can help from that standpoint, things that I can see from this perspective. So that just goes back to what I was saying. I just think you get out what you put in anything. I could take myself out, go back down to Florida, go out to Vegas, but I choose to be here among the guys, and I want to get on the sideline as quickly as I can. Just because I love being available, and I love just seeing how I can help get us in the right direction and continue the Super Bowl run. I want to go all the way, man.
Does this potentially make you or maybe spark some interest in coaching and mentoring and doing something after football?
I feel like, you know, when you get to a certain point in your life, you should always be open to mentoring. I don't think you're ever too young to mentor. I definitely want to continue to do that because, again, like I said, I'm very invested in the next generation. As far as coaching, I haven't given that as much thought. I've been blessed to be in a situation where I get to see coaches do it at the highest level. I think of like my coach specifically, Big Coach Danny Smith. He's one of the best I've ever seen. So it's really cool to learn how he does it. I have no intention in replacing a Danny Smith or even being, you know, associated from that standpoint as being a coach, you know, yet. That's not something I'm really thinking about right now, but I do want to kind of take up my mantle and be available in any way I can for this team.
Last thing for you, what was the reaction a couple weeks ago when Danny Smith was like the national media darling on that broadcast? Did you guys dog him a little bit when he got back in?
I told him, can I talk to him in his office, or do I need to call his publicist first? I don't know how it works now that he's, you know, the most popular coach in the league. You know, he's got all this big old boxes of gum. He always had the box of gum in his office, but it seems to have tripled in size. He has more gum in there now. He could feed a nation, a small nation, with this gum. It's incredible. But he's a good guy. It couldn't have happened to a better coach, you know, to get some of the attention that he definitely deserves.
Fantastic stuff. Look for you on Sunday, 4 o'clock, just past 4 o'clock, against the Bills. My cause, my cleats, a fantastic cause. Cafe Momentum, Miles Killebrew, and others being sure to shine a light on that outfit. Miles, great, great stuff you do all the time, and particularly here. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Really good stuff. Miles Killebrew, always been one of those guys, super easy to root for. 100% effort guy, and unfortunately he's hurt, but he's still taking part in this initiative, and it's really great stuff. So be sure to check out that restaurant, and it gives kids a second chance. And 268 Forbes Avenue, check all of that out. They serve lunch Tuesday through Friday during the lunchtime hour, dinner Thursday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m. And like we said, you don't want to be defined by a mistake you make when you're young. You want to be able to get a second chance. So be sure to look all of that up. All right, big thanks to Miles Killebrew for joining. That was fantastic stuff. Cafe Momentum, be sure to check all of that out. 866-391-1020 is that number here. That's 866-391-1020. Don't miss your chance a little later this hour and the 4 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour. So three different times, we will have four tickets to the basketball game, Pitt basketball game, Friday night at the Pete against Ohio State, the Ohio State University. So that will be happening. We'll give them away a little bit later this hour, then in the 4 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour. Okay, ran across a story, and this is very interesting. It's very interesting to think about. Are the numbers staggering, or are the numbers precisely what you thought they would be? Because I'm having a thought when I leave here at 5:55. You know, it says 2 to 6. It's really 5:55. The traffic hits, and then I'm out of here. I'm having a thought about shutting it down in totality, not even checking it, closing it down, nada, zilch, none, social media, all the way till Monday morning, whenever I reconvene with you, well, which will be Monday afternoon, but I'll have to do some research on Monday morning, you know, and doing that. But give a listen to this story.
A study published in JAMA monitored people aged 18 to 24 who reduced their social media usage. After just 1 week, the group experienced a 16% drop in anxiety, a 14% drop in insomnia, and a 25% drop in depression. Researchers say the bigger issue is problematic social media use, rather than the amount of time people spend on social media.
But here's the thing. You don't really, like, in doing what I do, you don't know problematic social media use until it finds you most of the time. Like, really. You don't set out to problematically use social media. It ends up being problematic when somebody calls you this, that, the other thing, and says all these ridiculous things to you. So that being said, it's just better to kind of go zero on it. I'm having a thought of doing that. Now, another question at 866-391-1020. We talk about alcohol, we talk about marijuana, we talk about prescription drugs or whatever. Is social media really America's strongest addiction? I mean that. You look at so many kids with their faces buried in their phones. Now, they might not all be on social media, but I think a lot of them are. Whether it's TikTok, whether it's Snapchat, Instagram, whatever. And all the tentacles that come out from it. The need to make duck lips and take these pictures. The need to always feel like they need to be connected. I mean, not just the strong addiction in so much as checking your phone, but the vanity that comes with it. The keeping up with the Joneses. The every tentacle that shoots off from it. I'm starting to wonder if that is the case. A stronger addiction than any substance. And it's this need to be connected. I don't know if there's any true way you can quantify that or any way that there's a measure on it. Certainly somebody will have some guess as a measure or something, but I don't know if it's accurate. It seems to me that it might be. Because again, I'm thinking about that. Like, all right, 5:55. Forget about posting, because that's easy. I could go months without posting. Not even checking it. Going from now until Monday morning without even checking it. Then again, I'm thinking, oh, what about the Steeler game on Sunday? Like, does it become unhealthy to just kind of go cold turkey? And is it one of those things that you should, or it's better, as with anything to do, to use it in moderation? I keep asking myself that question because I'm envisioning a nice, relaxed, great holiday week. And I think if I go plug my phone in and I use it as a traditional phone, that's it. And maybe, just maybe, check my email, which isn't social media, I'll have a much better time. I won't read the idiot comments. I won't find myself diving down a hole for an hour when I thought I would just be on my phone for 2 minutes. And it'll make it much more enjoyable. But I do. I am thinking that social media has become America's strongest drug. America's most potent addiction. And I wonder if that's true. Huh. Thank you, Larry. Oh, short order. Speaking of get the week rolling, you'd have something to look forward to. So in just a little bit, be sure to be listening. I am going to have a 4-pack of tickets to Pitt in Ohio State coming up on Friday. That's basketball at the Pete. So be sure to be listening. In short order, I will give those away. I am contemplating. Now, I heard this report. And should I play it again? It's only 22 seconds. I might as well play it again. Give a listen.
A study published in JAMA monitored people aged 18 to 24 who reduced their social media usage. After just 1 week, the group experienced a 16% drop in anxiety, a 14% drop in insomnia, and a 25% drop in depression. Researchers say the bigger issue is problematic social media use, rather than the amount of time people spend on social media.
Now, I am not 18 to 24, but the older you get, maybe this is exacerbated even more. I am contemplating, when I leave here at 5:55 p.m., because I'm off tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back at it Monday. I am contemplating phone down, no social media, total break from it. I think it's the healthy thing to do, especially over the holidays. Why? Why do I need it? Maybe to follow the Steeler game, maybe to see a little bit of the smart alecky quips of the games that are played on Thanksgiving. Other than that, maybe to see everybody's well wishes on Instagram and their turkey pictures. But I guess I could catch up with all that on Monday, right? There's nothing earth-shattering that I'm going to miss. Have they pardoned that turkey yet? One would think, yeah, probably. It normally comes today, I think. So if I do that, I don't think I'll be any worse for wear. It might be a good test. And it feels like, according to that report, here's where we circle back to that, that according to that report, the offshoot of it may be less depression, a spike in mental health, less anxiety, more sleep. What's the bad part of all this? Aaliyah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Should I get off this social media for like 5-6 days?
It ain't gonna hurt you. You'll be fine. You will be fine. You should see these kids. Oh my goodness. One child fell asleep today. The other four was up to talk about, take a picture. Take a picture. Hurry up and post it. And I had to sit there and tell them, now y'all know tomorrow y'all gonna be fighting.
Yeah, I think I'm not too far off when people talk about alcohol or drugs or this, that. Social media might be America's strongest addiction between about 18 and 25.
It is. And the sad part is that we as adults, we as parents, we allowed this to happen. Because as a child, you didn't get everything you wanted. I know I didn't get everything I wanted. If I would have asked my mother for a cell phone at 12 and 14, I would have never have gotten it. But we buy our kids cell phones and then use the excuse, well, I have to be able to get a hold of them when they're at football practice or band practice or whatever. No, you don't. They can go in the school and office and call like we used to do.
Yeah.
Because the minute you give them a phone, you'll never see them again. Just like, I don't understand what the internet, periodly. The minute they get on the internet, you never see them anymore. And if you take their phone, because we're in the age of phones, you take that phone away from them, then you'll see them for a little bit. You get to have a conversation, find out what's going on in their lives. Why Betty kicked Bob and Bob don't want to talk to Betty because Billy was wearing her shirt.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this, Aaliyah, and I think I'm on your same wavelength. What an answer from parents isn't given enough anymore is this. When kids ask a question, parents just don't give this answer enough anymore. Because. It ended there. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. How come I can't have this? Because. And end it. You don't got to give an explanation. They're kids. They don't get one.
Exactly.
I am with you 100%. Now, I try to, my wife does, we really try to monitor the time that they have. We put time parameters on it each day. And I think that that has helped some. It's actually helped a lot because the kids never grow into, at least ours don't, expecting to be on their phone all the time. But then it comes time to where sometimes I'm the guilty person when everybody goes to bed and I'm looking at my phone as I'm watching a game and I'm wondering if I'm practicing what I'm preaching, if that makes sense.
Yeah. See, when I go in the house, I put this phone down. I can care less about it. I'll be in the kitchen, the phone's ringing. My four-year-old grandson will run in, grab my phone, phone, here I go. Oh, I said, you're getting addicted, Bubba. Grandma got to turn Paw Patrol on for you or something, but I'll do it on the television, not on my phone.
Last question before I let you go. Do you have to run any football teams anywhere on Thanksgiving weekend?
No, because I think Westinghouse is done. They're out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, the rest of City League is done football-wise. There is some games. There's basketball games Friday. Yes, I do. There's, I think it's Perry.
Oh.
Perry's playing.
Okay.
Perry's playing UPrep, I think, Saturday, Friday. So we'll probably end up doing that. Other than that, I'm going to be watching football all weekend long.
Me too. You have a great holiday weekend. She is the best. And I'll tell you, it's a lot warmer in those gyms than it is outside at those football fields. Aaliyah drives that bus for the city. She is great. She's fantastic, and she can solve all the problems in the world. I absolutely love her. I do. But yeah, you know what? I'm thinking, here's another reason why I'm putting it away. This couldn't be a better example. Okay? This is a great example. So, I mentioned that I might be putting it away, and then I mentioned I'm not doing the show because I'm on vacation. Well, it's a holiday too, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Get these texts here, right? Here's two texts back to back. Same number. Colin Dunlap thinks he's great. He's not. He sucks. Next text, after I mention that I'm going to be out. Guess what? We won't miss you. I'm tired of this show. All right. Ignoring the dynamic, you would have had to listen to me say that to know I won't be here, which means you're listening. That exactly, that kind of communication is what's driving us mad on social media. People who are out of their mind and say crazy things, and then it forces someone like me to go, do I respond? Do I let it roll off my back? Do I ignore it? Certainly you ignore it. And people say ignore it, but you have to see it at least once in order to know you ignore it and understand how many goofballs there are in the world. On that note, how about having a wonderful Friday? Would you like to go to the Pitt game on Friday evening? Well, I've got four tickets for you. Be the sixth caller right now. Four tickets, Pitt men's basketball, Friday, November 28th, Peterson Events Center, 7 p.m. against The Ohio State University. Sixth caller, because, well, you could be that sixth man in the crowd. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Do not fret if you did not win those Pitt basketball tickets. Another chance coming up in the next hour, and then a chance after that in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up at the top of the next hour, just past 4 o'clock, the owner of, should I give it away now? Margo, what is your, you get to decide. Should I tell people what this is the art of the tease. Should I tell people what business or should I keep them in the dark?
Tell them.
Okay.
Get people excited.
You're so excited about this.
That's what I'm saying. Get other people excited.
You were just there. I read a story recently. By recently, I mean over the weekend or maybe Monday even. Or no, Monday was yesterday. I think it was over the weekend. That a business is expanding from like 20 current stores. And the ambition is between 75 and 100 regionally. Maybe stretching a little nationally. Grandpa Joe's Candy Shop. You ever been there? It's fantastic. Down in the strip. Well, the owner, the founder and the owner, Christopher Beers, is going to join at the top of the hour. And I want to ask him philosophically, not necessarily about candy, but so many people say it's a downtime for business. What's going on with the economy? And this guy wants to expand like fivefold. So what in the heck is going on there? Rather ambitious plan. And see if he also has some Boston baked beans for me. Because those are the best old school candy. Those and lemon heads and a bunch of other things that we'll get into. But anyway, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Lou's in Greensburg. Hi, Lou.
Hey, Colin. How you doing?
I'm marvelous. How are you today?
Good. Unlike that texter, I'll miss you, but I'll be in a tropical island myself over Thanksgiving, so I won't be listening anyways.
Are you flying from Latrobe, or are you flying from the new airport?
No, I'm flying from the new airport. So I leave on Thanksgiving morning, so hopefully the first time to see that.
You know what? I was listening. Have you figured out your parking plan? Do you know what you're going to do there?
Yeah, I park at that fast park, and I'll just get shuttled over. I don't want to deal with that new parking issue over there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you're ready. So what do you got about social media here?
So I'm glad to be off it. I only have one social media platform. I only use Instagram, but sometimes you get sucked in there and, you know, I use it mainly for the advertising. Like looking at new products that they advertise and things like that. But sometimes you get sucked in, you get angry and you got to comment and then I can see where it's bad for people's mental health. So I kind of stay off as much as I can, but I do like the, you know, then looking for new products and I get caught by the advertising and maybe it's better that way. I stay off as well because it saves me money.
Yeah, good call. Have a wonderful vacation in the islands. It'll certainly be warm. Thanksgiving Day is a good day to travel. Same thing with Christmas. A lot of people are already where they need to be via air. And so hopefully it'll all be flushed out, I guess, either one. And, excuse me, it'll be kind of thinned out and you'll be able to travel. Unfortunately for me, it kind of comes with a territory that I should have a pretty strong social media. Like, I don't know, Twitter. Twitter's the one that has a gazillion. I got like 100,000 followers. So, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that's what it is. So in order to send out something and alert people, there's no other tool other than talking into this microphone where you can reach 100,000 people plus, boom, real quick. And so for that, it is positive. But that study that I played earlier, where people's mental health spikes positively, where people's depression plummets, they become less depressed, where people's sleep is better as soon as they get off social media, it truly is something to think about. It is. Brody, real quick. Brody, I don't want to break up your conversation.
I don't go after old women.
Wait, let's listen. Brody, how are you?
No. I want between about 32 and 39.
Okay. Brody wants between 32 and 39. I'm not going to interrupt his conversation. He'd been on hold for a little bit, so there's that. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I heard this story today. And it's a PSA as we head into the holidays, especially that gift buying season.
The agency has received 31 reports of the lithium-ion batteries made by Seattle-based Rad Power Bikes igniting or exploding and causing fires.
Each Rad Runner comes with a suite of new superpowers.
Some of the fires started when the batteries were not being charged or used. The warning says customers should remove the batteries from their bikes and dispose of them. Rad Power Bikes insists its batteries are safe. It's refusing to agree to a recall. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
How about that? People say, hey, your batteries are causing fires. Companies say, no, forget it. Not a recall. Just a fluke. Hey, your batteries are causing fires. Nah, ain't us. You got us mixed up with somebody else. Anyway, I think there's a growing concern over these lithium batteries. And it's going to be interesting, at least for me, to see how many people eschew those kind of products heading into this Christmas season. Candy, we talk about next, and more so, it serves as a jumping off point for the growth of industry, or at least business. I want to talk to a business owner who's made a really healthy claim and an ambitious one. We'll dive into that top of the hour right here, KDK.